Ed Brucci is here, News Talk 1010 Chief Legal Analyst, but tonight he is here as the crime traveler. Welcome back.
Hey, great to be here.
Yeah, great to see you. And it's funny because I just tweeted something out with a picture from that SNL skit, Will Ferrell and more cowbell. And you said you have a cowbell.
I do have a cowbell, and I got it on one of my travels. You can never have enough cowbell, as I tweeted right
True.
Back to you.
Okay.
When I was fortunate enough to head over to the Olympics in Vancouver 2010, not as a competitor, as somebody who was just watching
spectator.
The fun there,
uh-huh.
as a spectator.
I'm glad you clarified
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know everybody was thinking, wow, I didn't know he was so good at skeleton. but so I went off to Vancouver, went into the shops there, and, you know, they were selling anything and everything, of course, branded with Vancouver 2010, picked myself up an official Vancouver 2010 cowbell. And lucky that I did on day one, because those things were gone.
Is that right?
Almost overnight. And when we headed off to curling, that was one of the first events that we were going to see. People were begging. I could have sold that cowbell 100 times over, but I hung on to it. It's at home, pride of place. In my basement. Still got it. I should have brought it to the show tonight.
Well, now you'll know for next time. I think we need more
cowbell. It's definitely coming next month, more cowbell.
You know what I have, but if you're lucky, I won't be able to find it before next time. I have a vuvuzela.
No way.
Yes, because someone I know went to the World Cup in South Africa.
Those things became,
right?
Yeah, they did. They became epic at the World Cup in South Africa.
Oh, so we have a vuvuzela at home.
It's like 1,000 or 1,000 mosquitoes swarming you all at once.
Exactly.
Can you play it? Do you actually know how to get a tune out of the
vuvuzela? Oh, yeah, it's easy. Oh, it's pretty easy. I mean, I don't think I can make it sound great, but it looks just like a big horn.
I don't know that anyone can.
No, it's just, you just blow on this horn and it just, the sound comes out. So anyway, yeah, funny things you find through travels or people bring back for you. And you obviously, we were saying earlier, are you passionate about traveling?
Yeah, I am. And it's funny, as you mentioned, the vuvuzela and the cowbell. So I'm already thinking about topics for other shows. But I think it would be great to talk to people about their favorite souvenir, right? Everybody goes and gets like the snow globe or the magnet or whatever that is. Personally, I like to find something a little bit more different that speaks to where I was and what I was doing there. And the fact that you came back with the vuvuzela or somebody brought that for you and my cowbell, there's some great things. So I'll look through my archives and
it's
we'll
funny because
file that away.
I think sometimes the best souvenirs are just – it's just something you bought there. It doesn't have to have the name on it, but it just is a memory of that place.
Yes. I think the one thing I would add to that is that it is important to me that if you're picking up a souvenir, it actually be from the place. So it doesn't necessarily have to be like, you know, a tiny local artisan, but flip it over and see if it says made in China. And if you're not in China, that might not be the best place or the best thing to get. I mean, I want something that – you know, maybe, yes, it was imported from somewhere else and it's got a memory that attaches to you. But to me, it should also be from the place. Somebody where you're at made that item. You picked it up, put some money into the local economy and have that forever as your souvenir, as your memento.
So then, in other words, stay out of the souvenir shops.
It's tough. Most of the stuff you'll see in the souvenir shops are all made at that one factory somewhere in mainland China. That's true.
I know. So one of the things we're going to talk about today, and this is cool and very timely, is places to go. In Ontario, and especially in the fall, I mean, you just drive down the Don Valley, look how beautiful the trees are.
It is pretty amazing, isn't it? And, and I mean, we are blessed. Toronto actually has a pretty decent park canopy. And so there's a lot of places that you can go, and the Don Valley is, of course, one of them. But around this time of year, a lot of people are already asking me, they're looking south and they want to get to Florida, they want to get to the Caribbean. They're worried, you know, the moment that first snowflake hits, everybody starts thinking about getting out. I would say, take a deep breath, hang on a second. There is still time to enjoy what we've got right here home and to enjoy something that is very, very unique, because we don't realize, we take it for granted. But the changing of the fall leaves and the colors that come out that way and the canopy that we have in southern Ontario is absolutely incredible. I mean, you get it in some places in the U.S. as well, but you talk to Europeans about this, you talk to people from the Caribbean or from the south, they have no clue. And when they see the images, they are absolutely blown away. And I think it should remind us, it does remind me, there's something really great right in our own backyard.
Yeah, it's interesting. I came across a posting on Reddit the other day, and it was a picture taken from, I think it was a park at the U of T Scarborough campus. And people were astounded from all over the world, because it was just, as you say, this beautiful canopy of fall leaves. It was such a peaceful setting. It was such a gorgeous picture. It's right in our own backyard.
Yeah. And Muskoka, which is one of the places that is ideal and I recommend for going to see the fall leaves, is just an amazing year-round place. And again, a place that we take for granted, because you talk to people from Europe, from outside of North America, you show them what Muskoka looks like any time of the year, 365 days a year. and they are blown away. The sheer number of lakes, the peacefulness, the tranquility, the huge tree canopy, the opportunities for hiking, really four-season location, right? And people forget it's about two and a half hours tops, you know, on a bad day driving from here. You can get there in very little time.
So we're going to talk a little bit about, because one of your favorite places is the Marriott Red Leaves Resort. Now, am I wrong? Within the last few years, I feel like that place changed hands and it was going to close and it was going to switch to something else. So
yeah.
Where's it at
so,
now?
So, I mean, you know, we can get behind the ownership structure, but
it's still running.
It's still running.
Okay.
So I think that's the important thing. I mean, you know, if you go as a guest, it doesn't matter to you who owns it, but it was, first of all, it was built at a colossally expensive cost. So no expense was spared, and you'll know when you get there and you realize, wow, this is a really deluxe resort. And in fact, that JW designation is one that if you're sort of a fufu shishi traveler, that matters to you, because JW is the sort of super high end of the Marriott line. And at least at the time that it was constructed, and I think it's still true today, it's the only JW Marriott in Canada.
Wow.
So that means that it meets their absolute highest level of requirements in terms of service, in terms of amenities, in terms of what's available. So you know you're getting something special. And if you're reading, if you're a reader again of the fufu shishi Condé Nast Traveler, which is another place that high end travelers like to go to sort of figure out what's hot and what's next. It was rated, I believe, the number 7 resort in Canada. So
wow.
they have an annual thing on their top 20, and that was number 7 still to this day.
Considering we've got places like Whistler and Vancouver.
For sure.
And,
think about all those Fairmont resorts and Four Seasons resorts that just sort of immediately jumped to mind. And right here in Ontario, you've got the only JW in Canada and one that hits Condé Nast's top 10.
I've heard some really nice things about it. I've got to check it out, and I'm glad to hear it is still operating, because I know a couple of years ago there was this thing about it, but I have heard it's beautiful. So, and that's fantastic. So one great recommendation. When we come back, we're going to talk about one of my favorite places, Blue Mountain.
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. So we'll talk about that when we come back, and tips for vacation deprived Canadians to maximize time off work. Ed Prucci is here. This is the Crime Traveler. He is our chief legal analyst, but he's also a passionate traveler, blogs a lot about his travels, tweets a lot about his travels, and we're talking about some amazing things you can do right now in the fall here in Ontario. And we talked about the JW Marriott Russo Red Leaves Resort in Muskoka. Also, another one, Blue Mountain, which is a favorite of mine.
Yeah, and Blue Mountain, I think, unfairly just gets tagged as a place that you go to in the winter, right? Once the snow starts to fall, everybody thinks, well, I'm in Ontario, there's no big mountains, but there's Blue Mountain. So if you're into skiing, that's the place you're going to go. Maybe Mount St. Louis Moonstone, and that, you know, I probably covered the whole province now as far as ski is concerned, right? And while I'm not going to diss it as a ski destination, Blue Mountain has spent, and the owners have spent a lot of time over the last couple of years and a lot of money turning it into a genuine four-season resort. And I actually discovered this while doing my day job as a lawyer, where I had a fairly big drug case out in the Collingwood area that I brought a motion on day one, and 2 hours into it, our three-day trial was over. We had won that case and it was done. And meanwhile, the client had put me up at a spot near the Blue Mountain Resort, and I thought, well, I've got a few days off. Let's look around. And I was really, really impressed by what I saw. And basically, it was an intra-west property. So if you're familiar with them, that's Whistler, that's Mont Tremblant, that's a lot of these great ski resorts that have been designed on the model of a Swiss sort of ski village, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what it looks like, with beautiful colored little thatched roofs and not high rises, but sort of small lodge style accommodation and thatched cobblestone streets and things like that out in the middle at the base of the mountain. And it is just as beautiful, if not more so, I would argue, in the fall, where instead of the snow, those mountains are just absolutely burning with color. And they're doing some really great things. They've got a hay maze. Like, as we're speaking right now, the fall celebration, I forget what they call it, they've got their fall-licious. So fall-licious rates are out, and the fall festival is ongoing right now. So you've got pumpkin bowling. You've got a hay maze set up for the kids. You've got nearby artisans and farmers, basically, who have recreated what you see, for example, in Scotland. You can go on the Scotch Malt Whiskey Trail. Well, in Collingwood, in that area near Blue Mountain, you can go on the Apple Pie Trail.
Mm.
And you can actually follow that online and go from farmer to farmer, trying the different apple pies, cold, hot, throw some ice cream on it, whatever you like. So really a great place to be. And the prices are going to be astounding compared to what they will be about 6 weeks from now, when that first snowfall really hits and everybody thinks, I got to get the skis.
It's funny, you know, we've been going up for, I figured it out this year, for 11 years. And we have not gone once in the winter. We go in the summer. Yeah.
So good for you. I mean,
we love it in the summer.
Have you ever gone in the fall?
I've gone once in the fall, and it's fantastic. Yeah. But every season, I think it's like a completely different experience.
And that's one of the things I absolutely love about this. My wife constantly talks about moving to Hawaii. She wants a place that's, you know, hot all the time, and it's stable and beautiful. And I honestly think that's great for a little while, but I would miss it. I love marking the passage of time the way we can here in Canada, where we have four distinct seasons. And that's actually not true of Northern Canada. I used to live in Winnipeg, where I joke that the seasons there really run from vicious winter to horrendous summer with very little in between. But here in Southern Ontario, we get those four distinct seasons, and you really should enjoy it. Fall is short, but there's a good six weeks, I would say, that are absolutely perfect.
Yes. Someone is correcting my pronunciation. Rosso. Sorry.
It depends on the staff there. I've heard it a lot of different ways. So I call it Rosso. Some people will just call it Red Leaves because it's decorated with the red leaves, and they call it by that, or they'll just call it the JW. It doesn't matter what you call it. Just go. You'll enjoy it.
I think I haven't spent enough time in the Muskokas. That's what I'm figuring.
Well, you'll get into it very quickly there.
So another thing, too, before we finish with Blue Mountain is great restaurants as well in the village.
Yeah, and again, that's that style that IntraWest has been working really hard to develop, which is that they would never want you to leave, right? You should be spending all your money there and then. So even though there are some great places in town as well, you can spend forever in the village and go from Italian to Chinese to Canadian style, Americana. And there are some really good restaurants there, absolutely. Rosso, by the way, also has a terrific on-site, an on-site restaurant, too. So gastronomically worth trying.
Nice. Okay. So we've got some tips for vacation-deprived Canadians to maximize time off work. An Expedia Canada survey found 62% feel they deserve more vacation days than their average. Although, isn't that a funny thing where there was a survey recently that showed that people aren't using up all of their vacation?
Yeah, so everybody thinks they're not getting enough vacation. They deserve more. And then when you survey, particularly Canadians, we're actually specifically bad at this relative to our international brethren, where we don't take enough vacation. So we'll leave it on the table. People are leaving days every year on the table.
Is it unusual for a lawyer to enjoy and take as much time off as you do?
I actually don't think it is. I think you'll hear from lawyers, and this is probably true of other people in business and sort of in executive positions. They go by the mantra of sort of work hard, play hard. And you may work incredibly long hours when you're working, but people will take their time, and they need their time. And when they take it, they are serious about taking it as well, which is actually one of the tips that I disagree with in this Expedia article. They tell you when you go on vacation to unplug. And we touched upon that last time in the first episode of The Crime Traveler, where somebody called – or I think somebody texted in about that and said, you know, how do you leave the BlackBerry at home? And I tell people, I don't. I bring it, and I actually dedicate an hour each day, and my wife and kids know it, that at some point in the evening, you know, either after dinner or perhaps before we go out for dinner, but back from whatever we've been doing during the day, I'm going to hit the computer, I'm going to hit my phone, I'm going to return those messages. And that just gives me a level of peace, calm, and tranquility that whatever fires are burning at my office, I've contained them at the very least, because otherwise I come back to a raging inferno inevitably. And so for me, that works. I'm not saying it's going to work for everybody, but I do take issue when someone says it's not a vacation unless you've left your phone at home or you've left the laptop at home.
But you're not one to completely relax. Like, you're not lying on the beach.
No, but even if I were, I could lie on the beach and not have my phone beside me, but I wouldn't go to bed that night without saying, let me just take a look at what happened, because otherwise I can't sleep over that. I don't know what's going on. Maybe there's nothing that I need to worry about, and that's terrific. The reality is there's always something, but by getting that out of the way, I lose that kind of survivor's guilt that comes with being like, oh, I'm on vacation, my partners are back at the office, and I don't know what's happening, or I don't know who's dealing with my clients. This way, I check in, I fill in, I correct, and then the next day, guilt-free, I'll put in another 18 hours of whatever it is, even if it's just sitting by the beach reading a book, or maybe it's hitting 17 museums. But either way, I can do that without feeling the guilt, and I knowing that evening I'm going to check again.
So for you, that makes your vacation more enjoyable to have that time just to check in.
And I think it makes it possible also, because people ask me, you know, how on earth did you take 3 weeks off? You can't take 3 weeks off. You work for yourself. Your practice is going to collapse. You'll have nothing to come back to. And I tell them, no, I work when I'm on vacation, and I don't mind that. I mean, yeah, I'd love to not have to check it at all, but that's not the reality. If that's what I was doing, I would never take more than a weekend off.
So I know another one of these tips to maximize vacation time is right up your alley. Plan ahead.
plan, plan, plan.
You're so, all about planning.
I am. And planning has two benefits, I would say. Okay. One is the obvious one. By planning, I think you maximize your use of time when you're away. That time is your most valuable resource. Whatever it is that you're spending on flights, accommodations, activities, it's multiplied and magnified a hundredfold by the fact that you are using – you're either burning a very valuable vacation day, or if you're not somebody who's paid with vacation days, it's even worse because it means you're burning – you know, if you walk away from your business, you're not making any money when you're away because you're the person who they're relying on. So that time is extremely valuable and you want to use every second of it. But I also find a huge therapeutic advantage of planning. When I'm planning a trip – my headspace is already partially wherever it is that I'm going.
Part of it is the anticipation,
yeah,
right?
I actually get – my wife will see this. Like I get sort of blue and depressed if I don't have a vacation plan. Even if the vacation is a year away.
Wow.
I know, hey, we're planning something huge next summer and I can think about that all the time. And as soon as I get back, I start working on the album. So I'm reliving exactly what it is that I've done. And by the time the album's done, I better be thinking about at least what my next trip is. That way it feels like I'm on vacation all the time.
That's a great point because it's true. Once you book a vacation or if you're in the process of trying to book something, you automatically get into that bit of vacation mode.
Just talking about it, I think, is a big deal. You know, people who are able to say week in and week out, I know it's 7 months away now. I know it's 6 months away now. I know it's 5 months away now, but this is what's happening. This is where I'm going.
Although I used to work with a guy, if he's listening, he's probably not, but he used to do a cruise every year with his family. And he would book it in the fall and take it in the March break. And he would do – and I used to tell him, okay, enough of the countdown. Because he would do the days. Every day I'd come in.
So all the cruise companies now do this, by the way. Once you book online, you'll get the emails. But if you go into like your Royal Caribbean or your Norwegian Cruise Line account, they will immediately tell you a countdown timer actually comes up.
So hey, maybe that's
why. It's 932 days until your next cruise, even if you book it years in advance.
So drove me insane.
It works for them and there's a reason why it works.
It's true, yeah. Choose the right vacation for your personality.
Yeah, and I think this one is an obvious one, so I can't disagree with that. I mean, you know, we've already touched upon that, the difference between the person who just wants to sit on the beach and the person who wants to hit up absolutely anything and everything. I think what I would say in response to that, though, is that a vacation doesn't have to be one thing. And I would hesitate or I would discourage people from defining a vacation as go, go, go versus relax on the beach. You can have both.
In the same vacation.
Yeah, you can actually have both in the same vacation. Now, that may not work for anybody and everybody. My wife, I don't know if she hates the story, but she tells the story all the time. on our honeymoon, we actually separated. Now, I don't mean separated for life. We're still together after 18 years. But there was a point where we were in Hawaii and she just said, it's enough. I climbed your volcano. I saw your rainforest. We swam with the dolphins. It's enough. I want to sit on this beach and I'm reading this book. But the captain of the ship we had been on the day before said there's a honeymooner's cruise. He was comping me on it. I'm like, well, I'm going. Yeah. So I went by myself on a honeymooner's cruise. The only single guy. My wife finished reading her book and I had a blast. So the captain and I, we still exchange emails from time to time. But I was the single guy on the honeymooner's cruise. And I think that's okay. It's worked for us.
I would actually think that's healthier for a relationship to be honest and say, okay –
See,
I've had my
we
limit.
Hit on it very early,
yeah,
right?
Good.
We've been married for 13 days or something by that point, and it's worked for 18 years.
Yeah, you do your thing, I'll do mine. You need that once in a while. Okay, and finally, just as we're almost out of time, ease in and out of your vacation. We actually did a topic about this one night because I was going to Vancouver, and it's this whole thing about coming back and having that jet lag and giving yourself an extra day on either end, maybe.
I'm so bad at that. I mean, conceptually, it makes a lot of sense, and it's great if you can do it. The problem is it also very much conflicts with that, hey, your vacation time is super valuable, right? If you've got 7 days for a vacation and you're going to take a day to settle in when you get there and a day to decompress when you get back, your 7 day vacation's turned into five. So I'm the guy who people critique, like my kids will come back, particularly because it's cheaper, will fly back on the midnight flight from somewhere, get in at 1 or 2 in the morning. They'll already be in their pajamas and I'll wake them up at 7 and it's time to go to school. The teachers hate that, but I want that time. It's just so important to me. So if you know that you're going to be a wreck because of that, then yes, you've got to build that time in. But no, that time is going to cost you. And I don't mean financially. It will also cost you financially, but it's going to cost you in what to me is the most valuable thing, which is trip time, right? Mm. If you're taking that just to travel, you're not using it at your destination, which is a shame.
Ed Prucci, good stuff. The Crime Traveler. You'll be back in a month.
See you in a month.
Thank you so much for this. Ed Prucci, News Talk 1010 Chief Legal Analyst on the night side. He is also the Crime Traveler.